Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. Hey, Jack from Merrimack, man. Thank you very much for holding on through the break. You are a trooper. You say what?
Well, I say we already know how to fix Social Security. There's a cap on how much income is subject to contributions, and I think that somewhere now around $160,000. Republicans and Democrats both know how to fix it. All you have to do is either remove the cap entirely or at least bump it up to around $400,000. I believe that was a figure I've read in a couple of financial areas. Of course, the highest earners don't want that, and Republicans simply will do what their biggest donors want them to do, not what's in the best interest of most Americans.
Hey, Jack, leave the humor up to Sandy and I. I'm only joking, man. I'm joking. It was funny. Go ahead, Jack.
Anyway, Republicans say, well, okay, then let's be reasonable. Let's give Americans a choice. Let Americans invest part of it privately. And that sounds very reasonable when you hear people talk about it. I can see that working, too. Ever hear of Medicare Advantage, which some people also call, and here's another one, Medicare Disadvantage Plans? That's private insurance. It's stolen the name of Medicare, and there have been all kinds of problems with it, overcharging the people for their fees, charging more than the agreed-upon amount,
the fact that they let that happen to people
that's bad.
Is criminal. Go ahead.
They also refuse to pay. Well, this is not medically necessary, or this is not covered because it's not specifically in the law that says you have to cover it. So, and people have been buying into this Medicare Advantage program, and it's deteriorating actually the ability of regular Medicare to pay for the various services that people who can't afford private insurance really need.
And Jack, it's a serious problem. I can see that happening with
Social Security.
It is, in fact, a serious problem. And again, both Democrats and Republicans both know it, and yet they don't seem to fix it. And only people who are on Medicare for the most part and understand that this is a major problem. They don't understand how any of that works. And so when you're inundated with all these calls by people who are applying their, you know, what it is they're going to do for you, and yet they're really just taking advantage of you, why that should be legal is beyond me. Sandy, do you understand why that?
In fact, it must be a lobby from private insurers.
Because I
got approached to convert to Medicare Advantage, so I started doing some due diligence to try and figure out why in the world I would do it. And when I got done, I thought, why in the world would anyone do this? You know, because of the risks it has you undertake in order to do it. I think Tom, who calls from California, is right that money in government is a cancer that seems to affect us in going in every direction, including things like that, where something is introduced, is created, and yet it's not clear who it benefits. It doesn't seem to benefit the people who would be experiencing it.
You know, Sandy, but when you say it must be some lobby. Yeah, we know it's some lobby, and that lobby is taking advantage of the American people. And I don't know how that should be okay, right? I mean, we know they're lobbyists, but That should never be okay.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, this somehow, and it, I think it started with Alfred Kahn, the economist, who did a bunch of good things and introduced the deregulation in the gas industry and in the airline industry, and some of those things were effective and seemed to have been helpful. But then choice, this idea of getting choice and marketplace choices became almost a religion that we've come to adopt, and I think that's the rationale for Medicare Advantage. It's an alternative. We're just giving you an alternative. Exercise your choice. And it's by giving you these choices, it's going to be the argument for privatizing Social Security. And of course, it's seductive. You can hypothesize how people might invest their money and demonstrate how they'll be better off if they do it privately. But all you have to do is look at the experience of people's 401k to realize that it isn't going to work.
So
it's going to create a bunch of people who are essentially destitute at retirement.
So I've been trying to figure out, Jack, all of this. You know, I'm still relatively new to Medicare, and so I'm still relatively new to it, and I'm trying to figure it out still. And so it shouldn't be that difficult. The fact that people call you nonstop during that open enrollment period, I mean, for months at a time, tells you. But then you don't know.
That's the pharmaceutical insurance part of it.
Yes.
And the gap coverage part of
yes.
it. Yeah, well, you know, that was also created, the pharmaceutical coverage requirement came part and parcel with the requirement that there be no negotiation associated with the pharmaceutical prices on the part of Medicare.
Yeah, really,
it's a con game.
Well, it's you know, and I don't know what the public interest was that the K Street lobbyist was able to come up with to explain to a congressperson how they could hold their head up and vote for it. But I guarantee you there is just that kind of a theory presented to them. So, okay, this is a choice. People are going to get choices. You know, you can hear the whole kind of public policy argument being made when all it is doing is putting under a cloak the couple of issues. One, the insurers who are insuring the prescriptive costs, and two, the big pharma who are reaping the dividends of no negotiation of big pharma prices subject to Medicare.
Yeah, at the same time. The American people, somebody's got their hand in their pocket at a time when they can least afford it, right? I mean, we're talking about people who Medicare is their last resort. Many people who have worked and who trust that things are going to be fair and right to them, and they're not understanding that there's some people out here and still looking to take advantage. The guy who's playing three-card Monty, you understand. Oh, stay away from that guy, right? but not when it's your government, Sandy.
Well, it's the government in concert with the industry. I mean, the healthcare industry is probably the most scandalous in terms of having K Street having gotten involved in public policy to the point that we have the most confounding compilation of regulations and statutes that have driven the United States alone to the point where we have 18.5% of our GDP devoted to healthcare costs, when nothing like that percentage is being experienced anyplace else, and we have healthcare results that are not as good as many, many other developed countries. So we have a failed healthcare system, which we stand back and applaud. Based on our America is Great concept.
So, Sandy, I'm still trying to learn. So this is probably part of how the people, handful of people, have really ratcheted up their earnings and the middle class has.
Well, it's not a handful of people. 18.5% of our GDP is spent on medical. So 18.5% of payrolls around the country might be associated with the medical industry. So you look at if medical costs are 18.5% of our economy and 5% of our economy is defense costs, that's 23%, that's 25% of our economy is fixed in these things, right? And those are huge lobby interests. You know, the defense industry is a huge lobby interest because of the direct and indirect employees. The payroll that's directly and indirectly connected to it is gigantic, and the health industry is even bigger.
So hang on, Jack, because I'm enjoying the conversation with you. I see you, Tom. Let's go to Lynn quickly. Hey, good morning, Lynn. How are you? Thank you very much for the call. You say what? Oh, okay. Let's do this. Let's go to Tom from LA. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
We the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Power lies within us. But second, as we know, the government has been overtaken by big money in politics. And I just have to say, you have probably the best callers. You got Jake, you got Jack, Jeannie, you got all these people. I think you got probably the best callers because Jack is exactly right. Scrap the cap. Don't make it into a welfare program by making it where you're putting means testing on it, because then it becomes just another program that's going to get killed anyway. We have to stand strong on this. We have to say, you know what, you need to raise the cap on the people that are not paying into Social Security after $120,000 or whatever it is. And, we're all in this together. This is all all about we the people. Paying into this program that's going to help we the people. And FDR, when you put it together, that was the reasoning for it. We need to get back to the FDR policies. We need to stop negotiating down and hurting we the people and only benefiting, the corporations.
Hey, Tom, hang on.
I'm sure you can draw a straight line.
Tom, hang on. Lynn, hang on. Jack, hang on. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. It's Friday. That's right, it's with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Early Home Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You tune into the Early Home Show. It's Friday. This Friday is with Sandy Williams. Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Good morning, Lynn. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for calling. You say what?
I have a couple comments regarding an Advantage plan that I have a brochure in my hand. They're still holding public events February 15th, March 15th, and April 12th. And they claim they're not limited to the open enrollment period, that you can be switched at any time. Now, my question is it a supplement plan, and is our Advantage plans for profit companies that do this?
I'm looking at Sandy, and he's looking at me.
I believe that it's for-profit companies that are, but we need to find someone, Earl, who can talk in depth about this, because, when you realize that 18.5% of our GDP is spent on medical, in the medical field, and if you realize the percentage of that that's spent by those who receive Medicare, you realize what a profoundly big part of the American economy this is. Healthcare is the biggest employer in Wisconsin. It probably is in every state. And we all know almost nothing about how it works, you know, what the background is. When I was offered Advantage, I looked at the level to which it would restrict my choices. Were I to get actually sick and would want to make choices about my health care, I realized that I was going to be in a net that I didn't want to be in with respect to Advantage, and the dollars that would be saved seemed to be very small as compared to the kind of restrictions that would be imposed on you. But I even have a consultant that I go to for all the Medicare-related stuff. He does a great job, isn't expensive. But the fact that we need to have a consultant to work our way through this, the whole healthcare maze, is a sorry example of what's happened to the healthcare system as the result of, I would accuse K Street over the years of implementing so many policies that are so much closeted in terms of being visible to the public about what's happening, and we end up with a healthcare system that is a mess. And everybody you talk to, you can talk to a doctor, you can talk to a hospital administrator, you can even talk to the insurance providers, and all of them will tell you that from their standpoint, the healthcare system is a mess.
So, Lan, you clearly, are you on Medicare?
Yes, I am.
And so you like me, are totally confused on what is actually happening.
Well, my friend was a paralegal, and I took her advice and called her insurance agent.
Yeah.
And I've been extremely happy with my supplement. But this calls itself switch to a Medicare plan that fits your wallet as low as $0 per month. And one, it's not Medicare. It's a supplement. And they advertise it as Medicare.
That's what I'm talking about.
And,
yeah, I think I think that all of us, no matter how old we are, ought to remember what somebody told us when we were young, which is there's no free lunch. And it's particularly true in the area of insurance, where you should understand that whenever anything gets cheaper, it's because you're going to get less for your money. And there are going to be restrictions associated with it. And so I would urge everybody who's on Medicare, there are plenty of people out there who consult on this and cost you nothing, and can cost the user nothing to have that consultation. And it's definitely necessary so that you can understand all this stuff that's being thrown up on the wall for us to consider.
But Sandy, isn't it fraud? Why is it not fraud for them to say it's Medicare? That's the part of it I don't understand. You're an attorney. How can these people say that? And they're purposely misleading the people.
Well, it relates to Medicare, I guess. Who knows?
I'm
sure they have lawyers. I'm sure it's all carefully crafted to fall within some parameter of legally justified language. So I'm not going to get into that game. But the whole system is too complicated, and it's too complicated for Tom, Dick, and Mary. It's even too complicated for people with sophisticated training, and so it's a symptom of how broken our healthcare system is. But all I can say is to all the listeners: if you are on Medicare, then you need to seek and find a insurance. These people are insurance agents who actually don't charge you anything because the prescription health care you have to buy is private insurance, and they will earn a commission out of that without you paying any additional sum for it. So there are people to provide you with advice, and their advice should be, I found, is pretty much from the standpoint of the fiduciary interest that you have and not from the interest of somebody else.
Lynn, thank you. Thank you very much for calling. Thank you for listening. And Dave from West Bend, hang on. We've got to go to a break. Jack, we'll be right back. 844-967-2789. Be right back.
If
You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I want to go right back to the phone lines. And Dave from West Bend. Hey, Dave, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good this morning, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I think it is very confusing with this advantage plan. I think one of the things that I'm concerned about, and for other people, is I think, in my mind, a consultant and an advocate to get you the right plan is difficult to do. And when do you know you're talking to an advocate or someone that can counsel you on the advantage plans? Or if you're talking to a salesperson who's just going to sell you anything he can.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Finding someone who has your fiduciary interest, has your interest in mind, is difficult. You need to find someone who's an independent consultant who, if they're selling you something, can sell you one of something from anyone and not just something from someone. Because whoever calls you who represents a particular company has only got one axe to grind, and it's not in your interest, it's in the interest of what they're selling. So,
you know, you say we need to find an independent consultant. You're an attorney. The average person doesn't even understand what it is you're talking
about. No, and in fact, I'm going to come armed at the next show to figure out whether there are people out there through Social Security that can help on this, because everybody who calls in, I'm sure, shares. This is one of those things where you find out, wait a minute, I'm not the only onion in the petunia patch right here. I don't understand it, and I'm speaking as Sandy Williams. I don't get all the complications of it, and I thought, well, maybe somebody else does, but I think really nobody else does other than someone who's pretty expert in it. And so, I try to do the analysis just from my own standpoint and figure out what the options are. But I can't know everything, and neither can anyone else. So you're absolutely right, Dave. I mean, I think the need to find someone who actually represents your interest is important, and it's probably hard to do.
You know, guys, at the
the other issue I was going to bring up is I have an advantage plan. I am the same age as Earl, and I have a circle of about six really close friends, and we talk about this stuff. They all have the advantage plan. Now, right now, I'm thinking I still like my advantage plan, because my requirement was I didn't want any or very low out-of-pocket expenses. And I was in the hospital last year for over a week getting a major procedure done. And I don't think I had any out-of-pocket expenses for that. So I'm still thinking that my advantage plan might be good for my particular health needs.
So who are you? You mind saying who that's through?
What's that?
You mind saying who that plan is through?
Oh, United Health.
You know, I had United Health before, and I'm with Humana now. And I don't know, man. I just, I'm like a fish out of water. I don't know.
Okay. I was offered, I think it was United Healthcare Advantage. I looked at it. My problem with it had to do with the limitation. I think, at least as I recall, the decision-making process, it restricted the choice of providers.
Right to go, yeah.
And I was not interested in that restriction, and the dollars and cents I saved weren't that great, but I think it varies from person to person, and once again, it also has to do with, I guess, personal preferences.
So hang on.
I think where you live and even your zip code and the county you live in can determine some of those factors.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, hang on. Let's go back to Jack from Merrimack. Jack, you want to re-enter the conversation?
Well, just to say that Medicare Advantage programs are a private for-profit insurance program, and I'm sure that there are people that are satisfied with it, or the companies would go out of business. They wouldn't be able to get other people to sign up. The biggest problem with that, though, is that private insurance is taking money away from regular Medicare, and eventually there's going to be a tipping point where you can't have both. It's like in Wisconsin, they're trying to get two different separate school systems, a private and a public system, and you really can't afford both. People are going to eventually lose out on Medicare unless somebody realizes, hey, this is for-profit stuff, and it's not always bad. I mean, I have separate insurance for dental, for example, because I'm on Medicare too. But the flip side of it is, eventually they'll reach a point where you can't afford to have both.
Well, you're right. You're
very close to that from what I've read.
Yeah, you're right, Jack. That the magic of Medicare for All, for instance, is that everybody would be in the same health pool, the insurance pool. And that insurance pool, by being so large, would reduce the premiums that any individual inside the pool would have to pay, because there's lots of healthy people in that pool who aren't yet sick. You know, they're in their 20s or 30s, healthiest time of people's lives. And so they're paying premiums that average out the cost of health care in the pool to a much lower level. And that's why the Affordable Care Act was initially premised on a requirement that everyone have insurance, so that the healthcare pools would be large enough to have that experience. And that's the magic of Medicare for All. Every taxpayer would be in the pool. Now, if they start excluding members of the tax pool, members from that, and particularly if they can be excluded based on, for instance, their healthiness, you'll end up with a Medicare insured pool that is more expensive. And just as Jack said, that could ultimately make Medicare non-competitive.
Tom, you still there? Real America has voted
for the Democratic nominee. I definitely want to put out the warning to everybody out there. Medicare Advantage is a complete scam. It is private health insurance. All you have to do is listen to the show that comes right after Earl's, which is the Tom Hartman show. He's had more people call in about the horribleness when they've actually needed to use their insurance. It's better to get Medicare and then get a Medigap policy.
Right.
Don't fall for this Medicare Advantage. First off, Mark Polkan's got legislation in that's trying to take the word Medicare even out of this thing, because it's such a misnomer, making people believe that it's Medicare. It's not. Then they put the celebrities on TV, Tom Selleck, they put Joe Namath, they put J.J. Walker. All these people on there are saying how great Medicare Advantage is as well. It's not. It is just... Like Jack was saying, it's a privatized health insurance program. Don't fall for it. Get yourself educated. Well, Earl, have that guy back on the show that you've had before about the Social Security and Medicare. I think he knows a lot about it. Also, I'm trying to think of the guy's name who does Social Security works. I can't think of his name right now. But don't fall for that scam, people. They put it on every...
Hey, Tom, I've fallen for that scam.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I know I'm not alone, but I know I'm being scammed.
Well, do you have Advantage?
Yep. You are.
I had it before.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know, because, you know, when you don't know, your back's against the wall. And as you stated, Sandy, it's hard to figure out.
It is hard. I mean, I have the gap coverage process, and that's a straightforward process. You pay insurance for the portion of your Medicare that would be otherwise a deductible or a contribution requirement.
So, Sandy,
that's straightforward insurance.
So as you said, Sandy, this just came into existence in the last 3, 4, 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Of this.
Yeah.
So somebody sat back and thought this through.
Oh, there's plenty of people out there sitting back and thinking through ways to do this. Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
Everyone needs to understand, when there's a privatized company that's involved, they need to make a profit. Because the whole idea of a corporation is to make a profit. So when you're a public company, the good of the program is for the public good. It's not to make a profit. Or to make a very small profit in terms of, you know, or not even a profit, actually, just for the public good, is the idea of we the people all putting our money into a pot. So just remember, if anything gets privatized, which is what the Republicans and some Democrats want to do, is privatize everything, there's going to be some type of profit motive. And it's just better if, you know, we have our public education system and it gets funded to the fullest. If people want to have private, you know, companies on the side, great, have at it. But stop digging into the little money that we have after the military industrial complex and after the money in politics and everything like that. Stop digging into the people's money.
So, Tom, I'm in total agreement with you. That should not be okay under any circumstances. Should that be okay to me? That's pilfering. That's robbery. And it's just like some guy sticking a gun, sticking you up. And yet that's done legally. That's the part of it that always blows my mind, man. That kind of robbery is legal.
Well, my sense is that it's... My sense is the government has probably facilitated Medicare Advantage materially, because there's no way that an insurance company could provide medical insurance for an elderly person and charge a premium that would be competitive with Medicare, because Medicare is subsidized.
Right.
The premiums that are paid for Medicare don't pay the full cost of medical coverage. You know, and elderly people have one thing for sure, that they're going to get sick.
Right.
And it's different than if you're 20 or 30. So I suspect that you know, I'm not a person that believes that privatization is always a bad thing. There might be efficiencies that could be achieved by competition, but in this particular case, I think it's a very invidious process, and it's invidious because, I said, the insurance pool, in order to be optimized, needs to be everyone. And to break the insurance pool up into pieces, some private, some public, is a very invidious outcome.
Look, and there's some things out there that are there's just some things out there that are natural monopolies, where you shouldn't have, you know, when you're talking about computers and shoes and all this kind of stuff, those things should definitely be in the private sector. I'm a small business person. I believe in business. I believe everyone can win. But the thing is, you only have one freeway to drive on, so you can't privatize those roads, because otherwise only certain people are going to drive on those roads. You're only going to have, you know, one fire department. The fire department is, you can't have all these other private fire departments, because if your house is burning down, they're going to call and ask if you've paid your dues in terms of having that, you know, fire put out. It's the whole idea of having these things in the public sector, whether it's healthcare, whether it's education. There's only one system that really is a natural monopoly. It's education, as an example. So if that's the case, then we, the people, should not be paying for two educational systems. We should be paying for one. And we should make sure that one is fully funded. And then if people want to have a religious school, or they want to have a whatever it might be, they can pay extra money. My parents paid extra money to send us to a private school. That's the whole idea.
Hey, Tom, good stuff. Thank you very much for the call. Jack, you got the last of it. You say what?
Well, as far as private education goes, I agree 100% with Tom. I was a teacher for 40-some-odd years. I taught at all levels from sixth grade up to probably sophomore level in college, both private, public, and parochial systems. And I'm going to say that so-called school choice means the schools get the choice. They decide who they want to educate. The same kind of thing happens with insurance, with so-called Medicare Advantage plans. They don't call them that. They call them insurance adjusters. But the Republicans came up with a very perfect description there at that panel.
All right, Jack, thank you very much, man. Great talking to you. Great stuff.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk later. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. This Friday's with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And, man, it's time flying. Sandy, it's Friday, and always, Sandy, my co-host. Sandy, that was a heck of a discussion. I want to thank all of those in the listening audience who clearly articulated what the issues are.
Yeah, I mean, the issues, it's interesting. It all comes back to the complexity that Washington has created. And mainly it's because Washington operates in the dark with lobbyists who then set things up. Our tax code is much more complicated than alphabet soup. And our health system is just as complex as our tax code. And it's all because it's all related to a whole variety of private interests who have their finger in the government processes in a way that the public doesn't understand.
So, but again, this is something both Democrats and Republicans both support. There's only two people that I know of who are in the Senate who push back against this.
Push against what? Medicare Advantage?
Not just Medicare Advantage, but the tax codes, all of these things. And that's Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
And they're looked at like people who are from a different planet. They talk openly about these processes, Sandy.
Well, and remember Russ Feingold, who had a limited number of terms here because of the extent to which he pushed back.
Yeah, so I don't, again, these things are too complex for the American people to know and understand, Sandy, and that's why they get away with this.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's a sorry thing, but it's true, and it has to do with it. Also, so many things are related. If we continued to have a media that was well funded, and we had reporters who were able to go out there and do extended periods of analysis to do in-depth reporting, we only have about three newspapers left who can do that. And we don't have the wealth of that kind of information. Those people used to be able to dig through all this, simplify it, and explain it, and essentially politicize it to the point where the people could actually have some input. But we've lost that, and things have become darker. So, yes, we have Freedom of Information Act, but somehow parallel to that, we've lost the sunshine that allowed us to understand what's going on in government. At 35 years ago, we didn't have the Freedom of Information Act, and it was possible for many more things to be secret. But the news media kept a lot of things in front of our eyes and in front of our attention that let us police better what's going on. And sort of, it's interesting, but it's like, whether it's coincidental or causal, but the number of lobbyists on K Street have multiplied sort of in the same pattern, kind of in a correlated, inverse correlation with the loss of news media coverage and the loss of real sunlight in Washington.
So you always use the verbiage K Street.
Yeah.
For the average people in the audience, like me.
Yeah.
What is K Street?
Yeah, K Street is the street in Georgetown in which there are many, many offices of people who are lobbyists, who carry out, whose function it is to operate in the political realm.
In the dark.
And they affect legislation. They have to register to the extent that they actually have direct contact with senators and congressmen. But much of their conduct involves the development of the PACs, the political action committees that raise money, that then spread that money around on behalf of the interest of whatever PAC it is that was developed. And then they have the impact on the legislators. So the PACs and the lobbyists operate hand in hand, and one creates the other in many respects.
So is anybody else in this audience as outraged as I am? Because Sandy just explained, many of us know things stink to high heaven in government, and the K Street thing that the average American doesn't know anything about. And these things impact our lives at every turn. And so we mobilize. Hey, Sandy, got to get out and vote. Yeah, and so our focus is everybody. We rally as the American people. Hey, get out and vote. Hey, John in the barbershop, get out and vote. Hey, Joe, get off of the bar stool. We need you to get out and vote. You know, and so this is what we have to do because it's election time. And yet the people don't know that behind all of that is K Street.
Right. So, I mean, you know, the fact is that people who are intersecting with the government and getting regulated or have dealings with the government.
That's not the average Joe.
No, but they have a right to be represented and have their story told, okay? And so you can't outlaw the process of having these people represented and telling their story. But the problem is that it should happen in sunshine so that the extent to which money is flowing from them into politics, the public should be able to understand this. They used to be able to, okay? Under the laws that existed in the 70s, there was sunshine at least shown upon the relationships that were developed between people who were representing industries or trade associations and politicians based on the amount of money that was flowing into their coffers from them, et cetera. Today, with the dark money in PACs, it's much more difficult to tell.
But, Sandy, I don't, you know, the average person, those people who want to tell their story, I really don't care about them telling their story as long as at the end of their story, it doesn't impact me in a negative way.
Right. Well,
okay, but in most instances, their story is impacting the average Joe, and who's telling his story? Who's telling our story?
That's why, you know, this is just, you can break it down to, you know, if two people are having an argument and have contrary interests, and they get to talk to someone who's going to make the decision secretly, okay? So I don't know what you're telling the judge, and you don't know what I'm telling the judge. That doesn't work very well, right? So we've always required that all be done face-to-face and so that everyone understands. And that's what the whole reason for all of the public disclosure requirements were with respect to the activities of lobbyists and the activities of corporations vis-a-vis politicians, so that at least we could understand who's talking, you know, and we can kind of project what it is they're probably saying so that we can deal with it. But in today's world, much of that doesn't happen,
you know,
right?
To me, Sandy, that's not clean government.
Well, okay. What I just described is as clean as government can be, right? Because
right.
you can't tell some business that they aren't allowed to talk to government. They should be allowed to talk to government. But the question is, how do you make sure that that doesn't happen in a dark room?
Yeah, but then I would say then that business's conversation with government that impacted and affected me, I need to know what it is that they were talking about because it impacted and affected me. Come on. I mean, we elect those people who are sitting down with the business and the lobbyists. And so if their decision is whether or not they're going to be truthful to me, the person who put them in the seat, or to the business person, we got a problem. Nassau, we got a problem. 844-967-2789. It's Friday with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.